is taken from Paul's letter to Titus. This letter is somewhat disputed as to whether Paul wrote it or not. He may have written portions of it and then a disciple of his may have added to it later. We don't get to hear this word very often in worship. It doesn't come up too often, so it's good that it has come up on the rotation, because this is a wonderful passage, and it's a wonderful passage for us to think about together as a community of faith as we look at teaching and learning more about Jesus Christ. Paul says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of any works of righteousness that we did, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and they are worthless. After a first and a second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful and being self-condemned." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the living of this word. The slide here says, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and a second warning, and after that, have nothing more to do with them. This scripture reading is not necessarily real easy to live. The second part of it can be very difficult. And in our world, we got into a little bit of this before I left. I didn't get to hear the whole discussion in Sunday school, but we got into a little bit of a discussion about how so many people seem to be walking around angry these days. You know, something's happened to them, somebody's hurt them, and they can't forgive, and they can't get over it, and they can't go on. They just hold on to it, and they're mad. They're mad about everything, and it doesn't make any difference what the situation is. They're just mad. They're angry. They're living that way. And when they reach other people, they see other people, they just share that. And what you share is what people learn. And what people learn is how people live. Scripture tells us we're not to do that. You know, it never says don't make a mistake, and it never says that you're going to be sin-free. The first part of that scripture is the wonderful part, is the gracious part. It talks about how we have been saved. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But it doesn't say you won't be sinful. It doesn't say you won't make a mistake. It doesn't say you'll never hurt anybody. All it says is that when you do, there is a gracious Savior. And that gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, has saved you from yourself. Now, personally, I'm very glad of this. And I'm very glad to have learned this because I know very well I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. I know that I hurt people. I know, and it's not a question of whether I intend to or not. It just happens. I may intend to be the world's greatest minister, but I fall flat. Sometimes. And I confess that before the congregation I serve, before my God, before the elders, because I know that to be true. But I have a saving grace in Jesus Christ who will forgive me. Now, the people might not. That's where that second part comes in. You don't know. You never know. They may never be able to get over, get through, forgive what's happened. And of course, that's a right. But what Paul says here is we are to live and we are to teach the first part of the scripture about this Savior who, not because of anything that we've done to earn it, buy it, anything else, but who comes to us and saves us and gives us grace and strength to try again, and gives us eternal life, and gives us the power to share that with others, to teach and teach and teach and teach some more. Every year, I go down at the beginning of the year to meet with the little ones, the preschool kids, the new classes especially. I love the little class because most of them I don't know. Sorry, just a second. Most of them I don't know, and I want to get to know them. And every year, some child will come up with adorable sayings for me. They'll teach me something. You know, I go down and I meet them, and this year, one of the kids said to me, I said, well, this was the older class, I think I was dealing with it. And I said, well, what do you think you're going to learn this year? What are you excited to learn? Well, one little girl popped up and she said, I'm going to learn my ABCs. And the little boy next to her signaled me over and whispered in my ear and said, I already know my ABCs, but I'm going to help the other kids learn their ABCs because I already know my A's, B's, C's. One little one said, well, my teacher knows everything. So I guess by the end of the year, I'll know everything. After church, if you'd like, I'll give you his name and phone number so that you can start learning from him at the end of the year when he knows everything. The children teach me. They remind me that there's still a lot to learn. They teach me that they aren't afraid to learn, and they're not afraid to teach. And we shouldn't be either. We may not have theological educations, we may not have master's degrees or doctorates or whatever, but we can still teach about the love and saving grace of Jesus Christ. We can still teach about God's power in the universe in making the stars and the heavens and the earth, and all of it was perfect. We can still teach no matter where we are in our own journey. It doesn't mean we stop learning, but it means that we can help someone else. Like the little boy who said, I already know my ABCs, so I'm going to help the other kids with their ABCs. You may not know how to write a book, but you know how to share a word, the word of God, because it's imprinted on your heart and in your mind. and in your soul. And the only master you should ever have is Jesus Christ, and he will walk with you each and every day and teach you what you need to know in order to teach. You are not alone. Don't be afraid in your own wonderful creative way to teach others of the love of our Savior. Let us pray. Almighty God, not a single one of us is ever going to get everything right on this earth, and we know that. You've already taught us that. But we can learn every day. And we can teach others every day. There's always someone who needs to learn, and there's always something to learn. And those of us who do teach know that we always learn more when we're teaching than the people we are teaching. Gracious God, you give us so many gifts. We thank you so much. Help us share those gifts as best as we can, in every way we can. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. As we sing it, we're singing verses 1 and 2. As we sing it, I really hope that you will open up your heart and allow God to give you the power and the courage and the energy to teach one another and everyone you meet. Let us stand and sing.